Not only entering in Christmas this week, and I just love the Christmas season. I love everything about it. I love the Christmas cookies. Come on, how many Christmas, who are the Christmas cookie bakers in the house today? You are my friends. Somebody brought me up. They gave it to Patty yesterday, a platter of cookies. I just thought Jesus came by, knocked on the door. And it to me, and I don't eat. Patty says she ate one. She goes, "That's the best cookie I have ever had." I says, "Because we haven't had one in a long time. That's why it's the best. That's why we have the table set up in the back to bring some smiles to you and some joy to you." You might be here today and you may say, "Well, I don't have any natural family." Listen, look around you. This is your family here today. We are the family of God. Whether I've never met you, maybe the person next to you, you've never met them. We're brothers and we're sisters today together in God's house. This is going to be an incredible end to not only an end of a year, but an end of a decade. As we leave 2019, a decade. Now we're going to move into 2020. Can you believe that? I remember when we were going from 1999 to 2000, the Y2K, and the world was going to come to an end. Thank God 20 years later, we're still pumping strong, aren't we? Seeing God do great and mighty things in our lives today. He's got something good for you today. I want to tell you that this weekend is my oldest son Benjamin's birthday. Ben, stand up. Give Benny a big love you today. If you see him today, give him a big hug and just tell him how much he is an anchor in the church, and not only in the church, Benjamin is an anchor in our family, in our home, and honey, I honor you for that. I love you. I'm so grateful for you. You're the best son, Benjamin. That means son of my right hand. I pray that God would give me a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy. Before we ever thought of kids, I said, "Lord, when you give us a child, I pray he's a little blonde, blue-haired boy. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy." I got two of them. Then I got one that's kind of got reddish hair in there. That's from the Irishman side of him. I don't know what side they come from, but anyways. Thank you, boys. I love each and every one of you. How about the boys singing this morning? Was that amazing? Lord, I just want to say thank you so much today for opportunity to be with family. Let strength rise up in every individual here today, I pray. Let confidence be built in their heart. Let each one of us, everyone that is here, God, let each one of us know that you are for us. You have good intentions for us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. Hey, look at the person on either side of you and just say, "Merry Christmas." Just tell them, "It's so good to see you this morning. Love you. Blessings to you. You're awesome. You look good." Thank you. Last Tuesday evening in the city and at our St. Anthony's location was just an amazing night where love was demonstrated to so many kids. I don't know how many bikes that were given away, toys, balls, all kinds of stuff. The smiles and the joy and then being able to feed everybody. I mean, they bought 500 wings and they were gone before I got down there. Come on. And I don't know how many sheet pizzas and everything, but there were smiles everywhere. There was joy. And I just want to say, for those of you that helped with that, thank you. People in the community, businesses that helped with that, that wanted to be a part, that says something for our church. It says that we trust you to make an impact on people that we don't even know. And I'm really grateful for that. And I don't stand here and take any credit for that. I look at all of you and I say thank you for living a life of generosity, living a life that you want to give to others, some that you don't even know, and the reality of it is some of you that you will never meet. Some of us will never meet the people that we touch and that we have an impact on through our giving. When you give, as I said in the announcements this morning. When you give to the year-end offering, you give to people in another nation through World Missions Alliance. You give to All Babies Cherish, that you're helping a mom that you may never know make a decision instead of having a child, a baby aborted because they have no home, no family, no hope, that somebody says, hey, we want to help you. We can help you with your care before, after, a place to go. For some, it's 8 days of hope. You give to that, and you're helping people all around the world. They're helping people, and not only around the world. They came into our city this year and for the last 3 years, gave a week in a couple cases to just help rebuild people's lives that were in trouble. And I'm so grateful for that. I want to tell you today, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being that person. Now, I think we should give Jesus a big hand clap on that. And Christmas Eve, they had toys, you know, some extras, so there's going to be toys here and at St. Anthony's both on Christmas Eve. So make sure you bring the kids. It's always a beautiful time. 6 o'clock here, Christmas Eve, 1 hour. 8 o'clock, St. Anthony's, 1 hour. Both a little different because of the dynamics of the atmosphere, both incredibly beautiful. So thankful for each and every one of you today. I just want to share something just for a couple moments because I want you to stop at the table up there. If you need prayer afterwards, come on down. If you don't have a Bible, ask one of the people that are up here in the front that are praying. Say, can I get a Bible before Christmas? I want to give you one today. This is, by all accounts, supposed to be one of the most beautiful times of the year, but for many, it can be one of the most difficult times of the year, not only because of some of the things that we're suffering and remembering, but then the season sometimes gets covered up by all of the doing that our culture really demands for us to do. But in this season, you and I can live with great hope. And take that hope not only to your own home, your own personal family, but again, as I said earlier, if you don't have personal family, this is your family right here, right now. And that's the most incredible thing about the church, is it becomes your family. And listen, I learned that as a young age at 17 when I walked out of that funeral home down the street saying goodbye to my mother. My dad had already been gone, and I was homeless. I had... You know, the people, the family that I worked for, we didn't have any natural family. And I gave my life to Christ, and I began to come into a church, Little Christian Missionary Alliance Church. And those people adopted me. They just showed love to me and cared for me. And I became a part of their family. And that's what the church is so beautiful for, that you can be a part of God's family and not be related to anyone. But you're related because when you know Christ as your Savior, you are my brother and my sister. You take the good, the bad, the ugly with me. And I take it with you as well. And when things aren't perfect in our lives, at this time of year, they get magnified. They seem to be bigger. We think about what is missing, what we don't have. What used to be there. And we look for ways to fill that gap in our lives. And this week I was called upon. One of the funeral homes called me and said, this family doesn't have anybody. Would you come and do it? And when I asked him, he said, well, they used to be affiliated with the denominational church. And when we called a few of them, they didn't want to have anything to do with it because they haven't seen the person in a while. And I tell them all, call me. I'll come. Pastor Chuck will come. I'm going to get up some of the others and get them really tuned in so we can do it to be a blessing. And I walked into that funeral home, and the family is grieving, and they're crying. And they say, how could God do this? How could he allow this to happen at this time of the year? My mom loved Christmas, loved family. And now we have to think about this at every Christmas that we ever experience from here on out. That's true. True story. But God can help with that. I had the incredible opportunity to go visit a man at the Crossroads House this week, in his last days of his life. What an incredible experience to go in a moment when others are hurting and weeping and just feeling the pain, to share the love of Christ and tell them there is more ahead for you. And it's this time of the year that everything screams for our attention. You buy this, you go here, you do that. All of this is what will make you feel good and make you okay. But the reality of it is, at the end of the day, when you do what the world tells you to do, you end up empty. You still end up with that hole in you. And God wants to fill that in every one of our lives. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel of the Lord said to them," and I want to declare this over somebody's life today, "do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which will be for all people," not just a select few, but for everyone. That's why I prefaced this morning that if you're here this morning and you've never met Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you don't know anything about it. I'm not talking about becoming religious or becoming a churchified kind of guy or woman. I'm talking about giving Christ your life, giving Him your heart. And we have to remember in life that God is never in the hurry to vindicate Himself for something that has hurt us or gone wrong in our lives. And sometimes we want answers and we want them now. And we don't get them in that time frame. Go through the loss of a job, a relationship, a marriage, a loved one, and we think, "God, where are you in all of this? I want to know what has happened." And the reality of it is that we move past these challenges in our lives, not with the help of what the world can afford to give us, but with the help that God has come to give us. That's why He came. That's why we celebrate this time. That's why we give gifts, because He was a gift to us, and He's put in us the nature to give. And if you don't, and if you're not that giver, you're missing out on part of the nature of God in your life. This story of Matthew 14, it's kind of a difficult story, but it's a true story, and I believe it helps us to understand the nature of God and how He wants you and I to deal with life. The Bible says that John the Baptist, who was the cousin of Jesus, that he confronted Herod because Herod was having an extramarital affair with his brother's wife. And John says, "You should not do this. It's not lawful." In verse 4, "You shouldn't take her, another man's wife." And the Bible goes on to say that Herod wanted him put to death, but he was afraid that if he did that on his own, that the crowd, because they were so around John the prophet, that he thought they'll come after him. So what does he do? Herod has a birthday, verse 6. His daughter, the daughter of Herodias, danced before him and pleased Herod. And Herod said, "I'll give you anything you want. Just tell it, name it. I make an oath that whatever you ask me, I will give it to you." And she prompted her mother, and she said, "Give me the head of John on a platter." Such an evil heart, such a wicked mind. The Bible says, although he was grieved, he kept his word that he had made to her, and he did what he said he was going to do. And the Bible says in verse 13 that when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to go to a secluded place by himself. Isn't that what we want to do when we're in pain and when we're hurting? We don't want to be around in an atmosphere like this. We don't want to go up to the cookie table and get any hot chocolate and shake somebody's hand and smile at them. When Ryan says that, we cringe inside of us because we want to be left alone. And Jesus was the same way. But the Bible says that when the people heard of it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And I can't tell you in my life how many times that pain and hurt just ravaged my life. And I wanted to go be alone. And some men, at the moment that I wanted to punch them right between the eyes, tracked me down and said, "We love you. Come on, are you with me on that? And grief causes you and I to withdraw. Tragedy paralyzes us to the point that we don't even want to go on. We want to be alone. And we think that that's going to help us. But the Bible says in verse 14, he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, he felt compassion for them, and the Bible says he healed their sick. And Jesus doesn't say, leave me alone. But the Bible says that he shows us that it is compassion that helps you and I overcome the grief in our lives. It is the loving on someone else that helps you and I overcome the failures, the disparity, thinking that I can never rebound. When we give, when we serve, when we show compassion and love to others, that's when we rebound out of the life of tragedy, pain, and hurt that we are suffering through right now. And when we love others, it takes us beyond the tragedy that we are facing in our own lives. It's the way, listen to me, it's the way out of the funk, out of the pain, out of the grief, to reach out and do something for someone else that goes beyond your natural ability at that moment to do. And when you and I step out of that place, you can even say, oh, I don't want to do this right now. Oh, all I want to do is be left alone. My goodness, has anybody ever said that, or am I the only one? Just leave me alone. And God puts this need in front of you, and you have a decision to make at that time. You'll either respond to the heart and to the voice of God, or you'll reject it, and you'll stay in the pain, in the failure, in the discouragement. But seclusion doesn't help you. By serving and giving our lives to others is what helps us and rescues us out of our own pain and out of our own mess. And if somebody has done you wrong, revenge isn't your answer either. Because hate plus more hate does not equal freedom. It equals more hate yet. And Jesus tells us that our hope is in him, that we are to trust him and we are to believe in him. When we help to heal others, we become healed. When we encourage others, then we become encouraged. Because compassion overpowers grief in our lives. I wanted to share this little story, and then I'm going to be over this man. I'm sure you've heard of his name, William Wilberforce. He led the way for the stopping slavery. And before it ever reached America, he had worked on it in Britain for 30 years. And 3 days before his death, they banned that there. And one of the men that had great influence on William Wilberforce's life was a man by the name of John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And a man that John Newton knew was an individual by the name of William Cowper. Cowper was a writer of poetry, of songs, to the point that at one time in his life he was even recognized by Benjamin Franklin. But Cowper had his own struggles. At the age of 6, he lost his mother. And he never got over it. John Newton, at the age of 6, also lost his mother. You see, even in the midst of the story, we hear how one overcome, but they didn't stay by themselves. They helped someone else to overcome. Because Cowper went into this discouragement and this depression that on several occasions he tried to take his own life. And he was placed in a mental institution and stayed there for 18 months until he was released and found the opportunity to live next to his friend, John Newton. And the story says that as he was still recovering from that, that they became close friends, Cowper and John Newton, and that John Newton would take him when he went out and preached on his tours, held weekly prayer services, visited the poor, he would take Cowper with him. And I thought of that when I read that story, that over the years that I've had some people that have worked with me and by my side, that I'd have somebody call me up or send me a message. Hey, do you really know who so-and-so is that you have working with you? I said, yeah, I know. But did you know that they're this and that they were that and that they're this? Yeah. Because God takes what the world says is useless, and he lays his hand on that individual, man or woman, and he does something great with them. And in the middle of this, in the middle of why Cowper's still recovering, still suffering, still challenged by the loss and the failures and the tragedies in his life, John Newton says to him that while you are hurting from your tragedy, you need to write music, write songs in the midst of your grief so that you can bless other people. I don't want to tell somebody today that in the midst of your loss and your grief and your tragedy, you need to begin to do something that can bless others. And as Cowper began to do that, he writes the beautiful old hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. They lose all their guilt and stains." A man that had loss, a man that was suffering, a man that made a decision. He is not going to let his hurt and his failures define him. He is going to move into the purposes and the plans of God. And that's what he has for you and I in this beautiful Christmas season. Don't stay isolated. Don't stay hurt. Don't stay removed, because we get over the pain in our lives when we help others get over and get through the pain in their lives. Come on today. Do you receive that in the name of the Lord today? Let great compassion flow from your heart, and let it be not only the greatest gift that you give to somebody else, but let it be the greatest gift that you have for yourself today. Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me this morning? I'm so grateful to be here with each and every one of you. I want those that are going to pray to come down to the front as well. I want to pray for you this morning. If you're here hurting, you're here broken, if you're here and you've never met Christ as your Savior, these people down here, they'll help you with that. I'm not talking about, you don't have to, they're not going to come and visit you later today. They're not going to put any demands on you. Just want to kindly just pray with you and help you to receive Christ. I really feel like I'm saying this today, and I'm speaking to a young person. Jesus wants to be a part of your life. I feel like in 2020, I'm speaking to someone here right now that you have not even thought of what he's going to do with you. But if you'll surrender your life, as Aaron said this morning as she was receiving the offering, that David said, "Lord, I give you all of my life." Some are just been tiptoeing around the water's edge, but he's saying to you and I today, give him everything. Give him your life. And when you do, he will open up for you in a brand new year, in a brand new decade, a life that you had never planned or thought of before. Spirit of the living God, I say thank you today for your grace and your love upon our lives, for the plans and the purposes that you have to heal our heart, heal our broken heart, lift us up from loss and failure, rejection, addictions, and use us in a way that we never thought possible. Thank you, Lord. If you need to give your heart to Christ today, your heads are still bowed and your eyes are still closed, just right where you're at, say yes to him. You've never devoted your life to him, or maybe you've just, again, like I said earlier, you've just kind of dipped your toes. And I want to say to you, as the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, I pray over your people today that their hearts would continually beat for what you have for them. I pray blessing over every life, over every family. pray strength for every situation here today. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said a great amen today in his house. Amen. I love you. Don't forget our Christmas Eve candlelight service. 6 o'clock here, 8 o'clock at St. Anthony's, 1 hour long. If you need prayer, come on down. If you don't have a Bible and want one, come down, ask one of these folks. They'll get you, they'll give you a Bible. And then on the way out, don't run out the door. Stop at that table. The best host and hostess are manning that table today, Bruce and Peggy. Tell them Merry Christmas and love on one another. I love you. Go in his grace today. There's a big backdrop out in the first foyer.